Actually, as he's walking into this guy's office, he looks at his secretary and says, "I like my coffee black," and walks right past him.
That's ballsy.
Oh my God. He's this little guy. I said, "Oh my God, we're going to get killed."
Where do we start this? And the answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hi, everybody. You know me. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, author of The Little Red Book of Selling. And to my right is the great but unassuming
Chen Gluckow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute.
And together we are the Sell or Die team leaders. But more important than that, we are going to help you make more sales right this very minute. Jen, why don't you tell everybody how you're doing today?
I'm doing awesome.
Okay, cool. That's more like it.
It was a good sales day. I'm sort of geeking out on a couple of other marketing podcasts and looking at the way people are doing funnels and what's making them so successful. And it's amazing. It's this, I don't want to call it new because I think that it's been around for a couple of years now.
Yeah, that wouldn't make it new.
But
compared to like the Neanderthal age or something.
It's this newer way of selling that's so strategic and so thoughtful that, you know, you get someone's credit card up front by giving them something free that's not really free because you charge shipping, but they get the free product and then you get them in this funnel and then all of a sudden they go through the funnel and they're buying other things. And it's so well thought out, and the psychology behind it is amazing.
Well, here's the deal. There are 1,000 internet experts all looking at the same situation. Everyone coming up with their wrinkle and then someone copying the other guy's wrinkle to make your wrinkle a little bit less wrinkle proof.
But you can't just, that's the thing. Like, there's a lot of guys out there that copy, and this is in every kind of industry and whatever you do. You can't just copy. It's going to look like someone else's stuff. You got to make it your own. You got to make it genuine, authentic, real to who you are, your brand, that kind of thing.
That, but you also need to be able to bank it. And so if you put something in the funnel and no one funnels your funnel, then
hashtag funneling your funnel.
Hashtag funneling your funnel.
That.
And it's a failure. So you can tell me all about your brand and tell me all about your ethics and tell me all about how great you are. But if nobody buys, it's not worth shit.
Now, Jen, when you were doing all of this research on funnels, at what point did you step back and go, wait a minute, how many funnels am I in right now?
Yeah, exactly.
I've definitely signed up for a bunch of funnels, mostly as part of my research. I actually can feel it when it's a funnel. Like, I get this like, ooh, that's a funnel.
But that's
feeling.
Because you've done the research. Isn't the key to funnels sort of getting people in without them having that recognition of like, oh, I'm being sold.
I'm being funneled. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But so we have this new funnel called the Hotel California funnel. Once you get in, you can never leave.
Hotel California.
But that's the object is for the customer to want to stay there.
Right.
And be enticed enough to buy, not being sold, but rather wanting to, like, this is really cool. I got to get this.
Right.
Thanks
right.
for telling me about it.
Right. I was looking at some that you feel like you're walking through a story and you feel like the person who owns the product or whatever is guiding you every step of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. Every web page should be like this. I mean, it's definitely the future, if not the right now.
So what we're trying to do right now is talk to you about this is the future. It's not like tomorrow. It's yesterday. And you may be having some questions about it because most of you, if you're like us, have no freaking idea what funneling is or what funneling is all about. And you have to contact an expert. Expert is also defined as geeky guy who does things on the internet at midnight and tries to text you at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Why are all those developer geeky kind of guys or girls like up so late? Well, what's the like? I like to wake up early.
They have nothing better to do. And they start at 11,
oh,
by
Jeffrey,
the way. They
but some 11. Of them have lives.
Right. Name three.
I can, but I won't.
Okay. But
well, no, I think a lot of them make their own hours.
Right.
And
oh,
when
yeah.
you make your own hours, some people prefer to hang out with their kids. And
be night owls.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So whatever they prefer to do, lateness is part of that preference.
Yeah. You know, we're going to Mexico this week.
Yeah, so what?
Are your bags packed?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. You usually pack like 3 days in advance.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to Mexico, yeah.
I don't. I usually pack the morning of, but...
I'm packing a bathing suit and a toothbrush and my clothes that I'm going to wear for the seminar. That's it. We're going to Cabo.
Don't forget your sandals.
Oh, yeah, I have sandals, okay. Yeah. I'm also packing hot sauce because they don't have enough of it down there.
You're going to bring your own avocados?
Everything is hot in Mexico. The weather, the sauce.
Now, if you're smart, you'll bring back avocados because there's a shortage here. Sell them at a premium.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, but you can't. And I already the U.S. government thinks customs. I tried to smuggle in fruit to. Oh, I was bringing in one banana from Aruba. I'm on a bad list. I get flagged every time. It's bad.
I like it.
So we will not be bringing avocados.
Okay. Well, they're like $2 a piece or something. Who cares?
They can't stop the drug smugglers, but the health food smugglers, they're on lock.
Those bastards.
They're very cautious about allowing me back in the country.
I have always been skeptical of health food people, and now I know why. They're smuggling avocados from Mexico.
And upcharging.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, man. So let's get
into it. Guns, drugs, and avocados.
Avocados. Yeah. That's high on the list. Yeah. Yeah.
People, don't forget they smuggle people in as well.
Yeah. Oh, wow, this just got dark. All right, our next guest is...
So what we're going to be doing today, we're going to be talking to someone who you've never heard of. His name is Ken Walls. Ken Walls he lives in Ohio, and the reason he's not famous is because he's smart on a logical basis. He happens to be pretty good emotionally as well. He's a pretty good salesperson, but he is a brilliant, brilliant, borderline genius guy in the world of funnels and SEO, and he's going to be sharing that expertise with us this morning or this afternoon, depending on when you're listening and where you are. Might even be this evening.
But yeah, he's written a book now, Walls of Wisdom.
Yeah.
And it's about turning pain into profit. And so he has a very interesting history and many things that he's overcome. And he's extremely relatable because everyone's been there, maybe not exactly where he was, but everyone's had those moments. And how he has taken those moments and turned them, those challenges, and turned them into opportunities, it's just an incredible story.
And how you might be able to learn from him so that the mysteries of your website and your desire to funnel or desire to sell stuff online might be solved or at least be better understood by a guy like Ken, who's very eloquent in how he defines things because it's completely elementary.
He's even going to tell us something Google doesn't want you to know.
Ooh, yeah. He's going to give us some deep, dark secrets, I can tell you that. And he's a great guy.
Yeah. So before we get into it, we have some listener questions. Do you want to get us one, Doug?
No.
Yeah, come on.
Yes. I don't want to, but do you want to announce the contest before we do this listener question?
Oh, okay. So we're having a contest this month. It begins today, November 7th, or if you're not listening to it on the release day, then you really should subscribe. Hello. And the contest is basically what we want you to do is subscribe to our show, rate it, give us some, thumbs up. We prefer you download the Overcast app if you have an iPhone.
Right. Overcast.com.
Yep. Then screenshot.
Or just go into the app store.
Overcast.fm.
Yes.
Oh, Overcast. Yeah. Sorry.
Screenshot the rating of our show that you gave us a thumbs up and, wrote us a review if it's on iTunes or whatever. And then all you need to do is post a picture on any social media, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever, and hashtag sell or die. All one word. Hashtag sell or die.
The word hashtag is not spelled out. It's the number symbol. It's like tick-tack.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, if people are listening to a podcast and they do not know that in 2017.
Well, you said all one word hashtag. I'm thinking I'm spelling it out.
All right, so let's recap this for the seller diehards out there. So step one, subscribe to the podcast. Step two, review that podcast in the way that is applicable to the app that you're using. And then finally, post a screenshot on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn of that subscription and that review with the hashtag sell or die.
Yeah, and I missed one step.
Oh gosh.
When
you do this, you become eligible for the prize.
Oh, yes, but hold on.
The prize is the state of New Jersey.
Can you tell this is our first contest?
Huh?
Okay, yeah. So
No, you're going to win the entire state of New Jersey. Unfortunately, you pick up the debt with it.
You know, they bring all the garbage from New York to New Jersey.
There's a reason.
There's like that strip of highway that smells so bad.
Yeah. Okay. It's called Secaucus.
So, hold on. Yeah, I know. When you post it, we want you to tag two friends who need to listen to the show.
Tag both of your friends.
Tag two people. And so once you post with your review and tag two friends and hashtag us, it's not that complicated. We're going to put in the show notes.
Have a greater chance to win.
We're going to give away five signed Little Red Books of Selling.
That's cool.
To randomly picked people.
Correct.
So get the hell on there.
And one person will win a 30-minute coaching call with you and me.
Oh, wow.
That's even better than New Jersey. Because we are both from New Jersey, and you're going to get the attitude of New Jersey.
We'll be nice.
Yeah.
So all you have to do, one more time, subscribe to the show, rate the show, post a picture of your rating, tag two friends, hashtag sell or die. Boom.
Bingo. Boom.
Okay. The contest runs from November 7th to the 21st. It's a 2-week contest. So you could do this multiple times.
We'll get a chance to do this again next week and announce this again.
Yes.
Okay. I think we should get to the guest and we'll do the, because we spent a lot of time. Let's do the listener question after the guest.
Doug. Okay, cool. All right. So let's go now, here's
the great
our buddy.
Ken Walls.
Hey, crowd goes wild.
For 30 years, I've had a lot of people I've mentored over time in sales and whatever that have said, man, you need to write a book. You need to write a book. And I've always said, well, I will. Let me read all of Jeffrey's first and, so I can plagiarize.
Oh,
so, I'm kidding. But so I just a couple months ago, I was just like, I've got to do it. And I made the decision. I committed to it.
Mm-hmm.
And a week and a half later, I had the rough draft and it was 95% complete. And it was one of the most, and you know this, I'm singing to the choir, but it was one of the most therapeutic things I've ever done in my life. Like, it's insane. So, my wife is way smarter than me. I married up and so, she edited my book and afterwards she says, well, what are you going to call it? Well, I do a lot of live broadcasting on Facebook and Periscope. And so there's this gal on there that always refers to me as Walls of Steel and Walls of Wisdom. And I said, I really don't know. And my wife says, she goes, it's filled with a lot of great nuggets. Why don't you call it Walls of Wisdom? And I was like, do you know Chelsea? And she's like, who's Chelsea? And I'm like, wow. So that's where the title came from, and it's subtitled Turning Pain into Profit. So, you know, for me, it's about, you know, I'm a recovered alcoholic. I have 15 years sober and I...
Way to go.
I don't say that for props, but thank you. It's honestly, I screwed up my life for so many years. I made millions of dollars before I got sober, but I didn't hang on to a single penny of it. And you know,
that's
like,
a standard story, by the way.
Isn't it?
I mean, there are a million stories in the AA halls and of annals, and most of them are not about being drunk. Most of them are about losing what they had.
Yeah, I've heard in those meetings that alcohol is a great remover. It'll remove, you know, a car from a driveway, a wife from a house.
Got you. Money from a bank account. Got it.
So, you know.
So how did you bounce back?
Yeah.
You know, even when you recovered, what did you need to do or did you, you know, what happened?
I was at this point in my life where I was just sick and tired of being sick and tired. And as far as bouncing back, I don't know that I have. I'm still working on that.
Hey, no, you know what though? Think about it for just a second. You know how long you've been sober, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
You've written a book, correct?
I have.
You live in a beautiful home, correct?
It's pretty nice.
You have beautiful children, correct?
They're amazing.
Is everybody healthy?
Yes.
You're kind of fine.
And you have a real nice wife.
I have a wonderful wife. Thank you.
Be careful. It's about to snow. I don't want to give you any any weather reports. Hope. Yeah.
Hey, we missed, excuse me, we were living somewhere else for a year. We miss the snow. My little girl's like out in our side yard. We have this huge hill and they're like, Daddy, we can't wait for it to snow so we can go sledding.
Just
so
wait till the first snowstorm. Exactly. You'll be over it.
Exactly.
Okay. So I want to get back to your book.
Okay, you sorry.
From pain to profit. And what are some of the ways you turned into profit? Like what did you have to do?
Well, you know, I think that I learned, I'm sure you've heard of the book, The Road Less Traveled.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
By Scott Peck. And I, somebody gave me that early in my sobriety and said, you need to read this, man. You're a mess. And I'm like, well, what's that supposed to mean? But I read it, and then it kind of was the thing that started me on this like spiritual discovery journey. And I know you're a big Napoleon Hand or Napoleon Hill guy. And, mm-hmm. and you know, like it opened up meditation for me. I started meditating 14 and a half years ago. Every day of my life, I meditate. And so I don't like try to define success necessarily by this is exactly what I'm going to accomplish. I'm going to have $100 million in the bank by the time I'm 50.
Gotcha.
Which is 10 months from now. So I got some work to do, but, you know, I look at it as I stay open to all possibilities that the universe is going to send my way. And I do have goals and hopes and dreams, and I work my butt off for them. But, you know, I also stay open to whatever comes my way too.
Open to the universe though is a huge statement.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are closed to the universe. They have a direction, they have a situation, they have a job, they have a mortgage, they have a family, and the universe kind of passes them by. It's disguised sometimes.
Yeah.
And they try to give you this false crap about watch the news, watch your favorite TV show at 9:30 on Tuesday. That will take away your vision of the universe or your opportunity to even see the universe.
Totally agree with that. I totally agree. So, you know, one of the things that that really, you know, I spent the first 34 years of my life being unbelievably self-centered and selfish. I truly thought that I was the universe.
Sounds good to me.
And sounds like many guys I know.
You guys need to comply. So, you know, and so When I got sober and I realized how self-centered and self-focused and self-absorbed I was with me, it was all about me. And again, I stay open to whatever the universe sends my way. The universe sent this my way a long time ago, right? Mm-hmm.
The Little Red Book of Selling.
I love this book. It's always right here on my desk. And then I gave the sales Bible to a girl that's working for me now a couple of days ago. So, you know, like I'm always open to learning and look, it's in my book. So I'll just talk about it. I didn't graduate high school. In 12th grade, they said, you didn't get a biology credit in 10th grade, so you can't graduate. And I'm like, how am I going to use biology in the real world? Come on. And just let me walk across the stage. I'll take it in summer school. And they're like, no.
Yeah,
that's not happening. Yeah. So I said, well, then, you know, I'm not coming back for another year. So I'll see you guys. I got stuff to do. and for a long, long time, I was embarrassed about that. Since that day.
It's a badge of honor.
It's a badge of honor. I agree.
You should make yourself a little button that says, I didn't, what's your point?
I learned at 20 years old when I left. I worked at Honda building cars for 2 years. And I said, this is ridiculous. I can't do this I can't do it. There's no windows in the place. And I said, I'm out of here too. And making 50 grand a year back 30 years ago when I was 18 years old was
not bad money.
Yeah, that's right. Pretty good.
You know, in Ohio, you can afford to buy a house.
I mean,
Jeffrey.
You can. It's true.
So Oh my gosh. So I decided to get into sales.
Mm-hmm.
And after I knocked on the first door and got my teeth kicked in, I realized how little I knew about sales. And so that's when I had this epiphany, or somebody told me, perhaps, I don't know, but it was all of a sudden, Ken, you need to listen to every Ziegler tape there is, every Gittimer, everything out there that I could get my hands on for learning how to sell.
Mm-hmm.
I read, I listened to, I studied, like, and that was even when I was drinking like an idiot. I was still reading and studying and absorbing everything I could, the Brian Tracy's, everything, all of it. And then I remember saying, you know, I'll take what I need, I'll leave what I don't need behind. And I developed this sales ability and skill set that every time I walked into any company that I worked for or any company I started, I was at the top of my industry every time. Mm-hmm.
So you don't graduate from high school, and then you choose on your own to learn everything you can about the industry that you want to be in.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Let me just say that I think, you know, most of the billionaires today are college dropouts. I think you have a tactical advantage. You're a high school dropout. You could start a hell of a lot earlier. That's number one. But let me be serious for just 1 second.
Sure.
Everybody that you, when you were talking about when you started to learn about sales, you absorbed everything. That's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
I studied sales. Literally, we had a group of guys who took a 4-hour sales course every morning for a year.
Yeah.
4 hours. And then I would always schedule a prospect at 12:01. Everybody else went out to eat lunch. I had a prospect. And those people, we were selling network marketing, multi-level marketing things for the great Glenn Turner at the time.
Yeah.
And those people were in, and they had to talk their way out of it. I mean, I was on fire from Earl Nightingale. We read a chapter out of Napoleon Hill's book every day.
Wow.
For 1 year. So I read the book like 10 times. What were some of the things that you listened to? What were some of the things that sparked you?
I can, you just mentioned Earl Nightingale, and that made me think, wow, that's one of the things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I look, Brian Tracy, like mm-hmm. he has that psychology of selling course.
Yep.
It rocked my entire world.
Cool.
Like it, I remember in his psychology of success thing too, and this is kind of what sparked my, oh my God, I could be an entrepreneur too. And back then, nobody used the word entrepreneur. You were just an idiot starting a business.
Right.
That had no business starting a business.
You're a wantrepreneur.
Right? So that word's so overused now, but whatever. So I remember him saying something to the effect of, If you want to be successful, I can't say it in his soft tone, but if you want to be successful at something, find a product or a service and make it better, or come up with a new idea. And I thought, well, I'm not really good at coming up with new ideas necessarily, so let me see if I can find something and make it better. And I did. And that was all about the customer experience, customer service for me. So anyway, I don't know if I even answered your question.
What were you listening to? So Brian Tracy, Earl Nightingale.
Zig Ziglar.
Yeah. I'm going to bust in. In 1977, I had a big client in Chicago that I needed the money for, and I had to have it.
Yeah.
I'd already known the client. I'm in Bean Blossom, Indiana. It's about a 4.5-hour drive to Chicago. I get in my car, and I just got this brand new set of tapes from Dennis Waitley called Winning.
Yep.
And I listened to every tape on both sides. I listened to the last tape in the parking lot of the company where I was going. I walked in, blew past the gatekeeper, blew past the secretary, went into the CEO's office. There were people in there. I said, this is my contract. Please sign this so I can go to work. And he did.
Oh, my God.
And oh, man.
It was only for $25,000, but it was money for me.
Yeah.
And we're driving into work the next day, and he says, well, how do you want me to pay you for this? I said, well, you can give me $5,000 now, and you can pay the rest over, you know, a monthly period of time. And he goes, $5,000? And he looks at – we drive silently. He goes, what do you need the money? I go, yeah. He says, all right. That's how that deal got done. That was all Dennis Waitley. And the best part is I got to thank him 20 years later. I got to meet him. We hung out for a day. He's actually, we have film of him in the studio.
I've seen that. I've seen that exact same thing happen. And I was with this guy, this from a guy, I think he's from Philadelphia, actually. His name's Larry Lewis, but he was a manager of mine. And he's like, come on, we're going cold calling. And he walks, did the same thing. Actually, as he's walking into this guy's office, he looks at his secretary and says, I like my coffee black, and walks right past.
That's ballsy.
Oh my God. He's this little guy. I said, oh my God, we're going to get killed. Like, it was
I like my coffee.
Wow.
It was insane. Never seen.
Well, anything. Philadelphia people have an attitude about them. I'll call it a swagger, but it really is balls. And yeah. I'm very fortunate to have grown up in that neighborhood. It's part of the deal.
So, Ken, I've seen you all over social media.
Yeah.
I've seen you on Facebook Live every night. What's going on? What are you doing?
Yeah. You know, I decided 15 years ago-ish, right after I got sober, I was pretty much unemployable. And
unemployable because you were too smart?
Perhaps, but probably also because I just couldn't answer I don't know. I honestly, for a long time, I said I'm an egomaniac with an inferiority complex, so I can't work for somebody else. So, you know, I ended up, a friend of mine, his wife was a realtor, and she was being held hostage by these web developers. And they were like wanting all this money to do something. She was literally in tears. And I said, they wanted $10,000 or something crazy. And I said, I'm not a professional, but I know computers and web. I developed my first website on my own in 1994. And I said, I'll take your website, get it from them. I'll put it on a different server. We'll rename the domain and you can tell them to, you know, yeah. and
tell them what, Ken.
Yeah, peace out, off. Man.
Yeah, at least. So I did it. I stayed up all night and I worked on that for her. And about 7 o'clock in the morning, I walked down. I said, I got something to show you. And she comes I was new in sobriety. I was actually living at their house. They were letting me live there. And she paid me a couple $1,000s for doing that. And I went, holy shit. If she's going to pay me, I wonder who else would pay me. Mm-hmm. So then her husband worked at a Mercedes dealership. And in my life before losing everything, I had bought a couple of cars from them. And I built their website, the very first website they had. And that was in 2002, 2003. And I remember talking to the president of that dealership. And I said, dude, you guys aren't even on Google. And he goes, he's like, I don't know how old the dude was, but he's like, what's Google?
Yeah. It's like the Yellow Pages, scary. Only it's going to last.
Yeah. Right.
And there's no printing costs involved. So I got them ranked at the top of Google. I know in that first month they sold a car for $100,000 to some dude out in California from the website. So, you know, I saw that back then I saw, well, Google's going somewhere. This company's going to go somewhere. I wish I would have had money to buy stock back then because
it's worth a few more bucks now.
We'd be talking on my island. But, you know, so I watched Google start taking off, and then that became an industry doing search engine optimization, which I had already been doing it. I just didn't call it that. I'm like, I'll just get you to the top of Google.
Right. And yeah, so, hey, do you own I'll get you to the top of Google.com?
No. Oh man, we should go search. For that
oh
right
my
away.
God, are you yeah. kidding me?
This isn't live, right?
No.
good.
Hold on, Jen's getting it right now.
Oh, great. She's gonna.
I'll sell get it for you.
No, fuck him.
So, you know, I just start and I so I started doing SEO and I got so many people ranked at Google, including myself. And you know, here's a thing that Google will not readily admit. They continue to change their algorithm all the time. They're changing it 500 times a year on average. And so
a couple of years ago,
they did this huge, some big, big changes, and it just wiped out the SEO industry. And then I went back and I figured out what they did to the algorithm, and we worked on, you know, but I started losing clients because people are like, I'm not going to keep paying you a couple $1,000s a month to do SEO when my rankings are falling. Like, what's the point of that? And I understand. Back then, I didn't understand. I was like, no, no, I'll get it. And it was a fight and a struggle. And, you know, I still was getting people ranked. But it's just like right now, I won't even take on an SEO client. Like, I will not take on a client unless they're like a good friend and I'm just doing it to help them. We're going to shake hands up front and understand that there may be no results.
Right.
You know,
because of how often they change it? Or is it like you don't want to fool Mother Google?
Now, Google does not want you ranked at the top organically. They don't. They won't admit that, but they don't.
They want you to pay your way to the top? Kind of like
I'm probably going to get a cease and desist from them now. But they want you to pay to be in their ads. That's how does Google make money?
Selling ads.
Selling ads.
Or words, selling words or selling ads.
Yeah.
So what do you, I mean, so you don't do SEO anymore, but I see you all over Facebook like every night. What do you do? What are you doing?
Who pays you?
We're doing, who pays? I have money trees here in Ohio. That's
send us some.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you hate Ohio, remember?
Oh, yeah. So,
we'll take your money trees.
It's fine. It's great in the spring. It's fun.
Right. So
they have graders.
Yeah. I like the calves.
Oh, yeah. Graders is the Cavs. I don't watch basketball, so so what I'm doing now is, you know, I've taken all these years of computer and web development experience and some video stuff and everything, because I can rank a video to the top of YouTube instantly. It's on my public fan page. I have it pinned to the top, which is CEO Ken Walls. So I ranked a video live on a webinar I did for this girl out in Denver. She's a personal trainer, fitness trainer. I ranked her video to number six or seven instantly. As soon as I hit the upload save button, after doing everything I showed everybody how to do it, it's on my Facebook fan page. I showed everybody how to do it. It was instantly ranked at number six or seven. The next morning it was ranked number one.
We got to go watch that.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, and YouTube's a little bit easier than Google, although they're owned by Google. You know, if you think about like if you could get 100 videos ranked for a variety of different keyword phrases in your channel, what kind of power would that give you? It gives you
Google, kind of like Facebook, they have 1 billion users. So they're the third largest country in the world.
Yeah, that's true.
And they will eventually be the number one country in the world. It'll be a fight between – it's no longer China and India. It's Google and Facebook.
It is.
And YouTube, Google, Facebook, they're the number one countries in the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I agree with you, man. I think that Facebook is the most powerful company in the world.
Okay. So what would you say to someone who is an entrepreneur trying to build their business?
Yeah.
What do they do on social media? How do they get started? How do they become known? And how do they grow their following?
Or should they just call you and pay you?
Well, we accept credit cards. And
CEO KenWalls.com, correct?
Just KenWalls.com. Register to be notified for my book at KenWalls.com for sure.
Okay.
But you know, there's a lot of ways. You know, we live in a time, there's no better time in the history of the world to get known. And if you know,
no easier time.
Mm-hmm.
No easier time. You know, I've been
would you say it's easier or harder? Because now there's so many people who want to get known and think there's no barrier to entry anymore.
I love that question, actually, and I have a great answer for that. I've been a distributor for send out cards for years, long time. I've never signed up a distributor ever. I just use the service because I can take pictures off of your Facebook page, pop it on a card right from my phone.
Ken, our cards got lost in the mail.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was waiting for this podcast. So you can send this out. So this, we have the most powerful computers in the world right here in our hand. And I have thousands of contacts. Well, there's this new thing called My Contact Butler, and you can actually, I'm doing a webinar later today on it, but I can send you a text message and say, hey, I want to send you a card. Could you update your contact information for me with your address and your birthday so I know when that is too? And I'll send it to you later, but it's so freaking amazing because as soon as you enter the information, it pushes it right to my phone. Like I have all of your information instantly. So then I can just go to send out. So, if somebody wants to really get attention, the first thing that I think they need to do is get out of yourself. And you want to get Mr. Gittimer's attention, who's an influencer and an amazing guy. Do something for the guy that's nice. Don't just don't send him or Jen messages on Facebook Messenger. There's this freaking epidemic. I've got 5,000 friends most of the time. Some of them unfriend me because I'm somewhat of an asshole with them sometimes. But,
I don't think that somewhat is like somewhat pregnant. Either you are or you aren't.
Okay. I call it like it is. Like, man, don't become my friend on Facebook and then instantly hit me up on Facebook Messenger unless you want to buy something of mine.
Right.
I'll take that. But
so, how do you get someone's attention? Well, have you done anything like that?
So, Grant Cardone, I was buying some of his products too. And I'm like, I've got to get this guy's attention. I've got to get his attention. Every time I Googled sales training, it was Carnegie comes up or whatever. And I'm like, he's dead. Like, what, yeah. Why are you, and exactly. a dead guy's outranking.
You could have called me. I have a cell phone. No, I hire Grant. Yeah, we text.
Oh my God!
He didn't know you either.
Right.
Yeah. So I tried and finally one of my clients owns a winery who she's since passed away, but she owned a winery and you could private label with anything. You have a designer make the label whatever you want, and mm-hmm. she'll put it on a bottle of wine. So I got a picture of Grant, his wife, and his two beautiful little girls, and I put it on the label, and I had two bottles of wine made up, and I said, all right, my assistant was standing at my desk, and we got in this bubble wrap, like all this stuff. So I'm like, okay, we're gonna ship this to Grant. Let's overnight it now, and so they get it tomorrow, which would have been on a Friday. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I thought, he wears a lot of white shirts. All I could see is him opening this package. The wine bottles had broken and red wine goes everywhere. That's the wrong way to get attention. So I'm like, you know what? I need to just take this down, but I don't have time. I've got these meetings. And she goes, I'll take it. I go, really? And she goes, yeah. And I go, perfect. Let me check on flights. So I check on flights. I said, you need to be at the airport in an hour. Can you go home, get a bag and get there? And she's like, done. So I flew her to Miami. I put her up in a nice hotel down there for a couple of nights and she hand delivered them to Grant. Well, Grant and Elena were running late that day. She waits for them in the lobby of their building. They walk in and she says, excuse me, Mr. Cardone. And he turns around and she says, I work for Ken Walls, which he didn't know who I was.
Right.
Right. But he called me from his cell phone that day, that morning with her sitting in his office and said, I'm keeping your assistant. She's cute and we want to hire her here. And I go, don't do that, man. And he goes, well, what can I do to help your business? And all of a sudden that's where it all started. I said, I want you as a client. I said, I Google sales training and some dead guy comes up before you. And he's like, and that pisses me off. And that's kind of where it all started. So,
cool.
I'm attention by investing, you know, I think it cost me $1,500 or something. But whatever.
Find something personal, do something memorable. It has been a mantra of mine for 30 years, and you did it exactly right.
Yeah, and I didn't know I was doing it right. I've flown people to other people's locations, or I've flown there to deliver a box of cigars, you know? I mean,
imported or domestic?
Domestic. I saw those Cubans on your Instagram, by the way. That Cohiba is my favorite. That's cool. The best cigar in the world.
Well, I'll tell you what, have a box. There's a box for sale.
Wait a second. There's a box of them waiting for you here.
I'm on my way. I'm leaving
from
right
the factory.
Now.
And
literally a kid came over and sealed them in front of us. It was pretty cool.
Wow.
In Havana.
In Havana. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
All right. So I have more questions for Ken, if that's cool. Ken, a lot of people say you can't make business from Facebook, but you keep going back to Facebook every day. So what's up with that?
I get business from it every day. I guess I haven't.
But I thought all the businesses on LinkedIn, that's what they say.
Yeah. Who's the they anyway?
I don't know. That's just what I read.
I guess I need to listen to those people because I've never gotten anything off of LinkedIn. So
how are you making Facebook successful? What can others do to try and replicate what you're doing?
It's very simple. I get on Facebook Live every night and I give away the formula. I did a free webinar on how to rank your own YouTube videos. Like, it's free. You don't have to hire me. You can do it on your own. I believe in just, you know, just give it away. Give away the information. Give away the secrets, because I already had one CEO of a big ass company call me and say, dude, you can really do it. Wow. I watched a little bit of that. And I go, you didn't watch the whole thing? He goes, I don't have time to watch all that shit.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
I want to hire you. Right, he said that. I want to hire you. I got five or six videos I want ranked immediately. And I go, okay. You know,
exactly.
So, I mean, we do the ClickFunnels stuff. That's our primary thing right now. Excuse me, is ClickFunnels. And you know, we're building tons of them for clients.
So a lot of our listeners may not know what ClickFunnels is what the idea of, not just them, but like what the idea of a funnel is. Can you explain it?
Yeah, a funnel is, you know, most people have some form of a website. And we kind of came up with a way to visually paint this picture. Imagine the internet as a big, big highway with billions of cars on it, right? Those cars are people. And those people are out there looking for stuff. Most people have a website where people get off, they go to your website, it's like a rest area. They look around, they get lost, they're looking at too many things, there's too many options, and so they get back on the highway and keep looking.
No, hold on. They have to pee, so they leave.
They take a whiz.
They go to the restroom and the rest area, and then they go.
Right, exactly. So they literally crap all over your website and then leave. And then they, you know, so what we do is a funnel's more of a, hey, I have the little red book of selling and I want people to buy this book, right? Mm-hmm. So what I do is I say, okay, well, let's do some sort of a giveaway. Let's figure out what we can give to somebody for free, whether it's a get bid or it's a signed copy or I don't know, we would come up with something. So we collaborate. We come up with something to get them. It's a hook. We put that in a Facebook ad. Hey, click here. Come over and sign up to download the free. The PDF is overused. Too many people are wanting you to download a PDF. So we try to get away from that. But, you know, download this or we'll ship this to you for free if you just cover shipping and handling like Russell Brunson did with his book.
Yep.
You know? And then so they get in your funnel that way. You now are building an email database.
Get in your funnel, meaning you have their contact information.
Right.
So and the funnel means that you're at the top of the funnel at that moment and you want them to work their way down so that they get to the grand prize.
That's exactly it. So maybe you have a $15,000 webinar you're going to do or a whatever it is. And so you're taking them from page to page with an upsell, downsell throughout the whole process where it's like, well, hey, you can spend $500 for this. Or if you don't want to do that, you could spend $50 for this. And
got it.
So you're you're keeping them in there. You've captured their credit card information by them covering shipping and handling. So it's just a brilliant way. It doesn't have to, I mean, there's so many different things that you can use. You could use a WordPress site, for the love of God. I mean, it doesn't have to be ClickFunnels.
So I'm going to just share with you that here's a guy, Ken Walls, who you never heard of before in your life. You're listening to Sell or Die right now, and you're going, holy shit. This is amazing stuff. How does this guy in Ohio know all of this stuff? And I don't know Jack. And Jack, if you're not from Philadelphia, is half of a word. But I think what we need to do, you know, this is going to be up online. You'll be able to listen. I want you to tell your friends. I want you to listen to this podcast several times. I want you to take notes. And then you go to kenwalls.com and you get what he has to offer, because what he has to offer is gold.
And find him on Facebook, because he's giving away these free funnel sessions every night. Yeah. They're really cool.
So, Ken Walls, it's been an absolute pleasure, and we will talk to you soon. Please come back.
Will do. Thank you, guys.
One of the things I've noticed about Ken Walls is he actually practices what he preaches. So if he tells you to go on Facebook Live, he's going on Facebook Live every single day.
We were actually on his little show, Facebook Live, when he was selling his book.
Yeah, that
and
was
we
cool.
bought a couple of books. Hundreds of people bought books.
Of course, that was cool. Yeah. So, but he brings value and he teaches you exactly what you could do.
And then
people want to buy from him.
Yeah, he's likable. He's also believable.
Yeah.
Likable, believable.
Yeah, and he is a great team. He has a 26-year-old millennial working with him, this guy Alex, who's...
26-year-old by definition would be millennial.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
No problem.
I appreciate you calling me out. You keep me on my toes.
No problem. He'll be 27 next year, I understand.
Will he still be a millennial?
Yes.
So we've got some links to Ken Walls' information, his book and his website on the show notes.
Yes, okay, you can go to kenwalls.com and get his book, but for sure, check out the show notes.
I would call the guy.
Do people know where the show notes are? Do you know you can go to sellordiepodcast.com and get everything? Every show is there. We made this beautiful website. I mean, not to brag or anything, but it's freaking awesome.
So we're starting a new segment on this show called the Napoleon Hill Quote of the Week. For those not in the know, who is Napoleon Hill and why is he important?
Napoleon Hill is the father of personal development and positive attitude in the United States of America. He wrote Think and Grow Rich, published in 1937 or 38. But the reality of this is that he was writing stuff before... 20 years before that, and you'll see it come out in a book called Truthful Living, which I've co-written with the Napoleon Hill Foundation, where we talk about the early writings of Napoleon Hill. But he has sold hundreds of millions of books to people all over the world regarding how to be a better person, mm-hmm. and how to live more successfully, how to earn more money, how to have a better attitude.
And the reason he sold hundreds of millions of books?
Yeah.
Hundreds of millions?
Yeah.
Hundreds of millions of books is because his stuff is still applicable and it's evergreen. It's amazing.
And it's been highly influential to both of your successes.
Absolutely.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. Jen was proof editing the Truthful Living book of Napoleon Hill's first writings, and I kept getting texts from her. This is amazing. This is the best stuff I've ever read. It's pretty, you know, the guy was...
I couldn't stop. It was so good.
All right, so the Napoleon Hill quote of the week is, this is great for this interview that we just listened to. Here it is. Before success comes in any man's life, he's sure to meet with much temporary defeat and perhaps some failures. When defeat overtakes a man, the easiest and the most logical thing to do is to quit. That's exactly what the majority of men do.
Wow, I love that.
The Napoleon Hill, the reason that he's so sticky, the reason that it's so relevant 100 years later is because it's true. He was a powerful observer of people and their habits. And obviously, when you write 100 years ago, you use the pronoun he or use the male form of writing because that's how it was done in those days. And I want to apologize to all the women he didn't say she. Right, he didn't say she because no one did in those days. But the bottom line is you're looking for the message here.
Well, I can tell you as a female,
Yeah.
I am personally not offended that he didn't say she, first of all.
Because you're in sales.
Maybe that's one reason why. But also because that's just how they wrote back then. And that's what it was. We have evolved. And yeah. If I'm reading his material, I just make a little S in front of it for me. Like, I just read she in my mind, you know? Yeah. It doesn't matter that he didn't say she. I can still apply it to myself, and it's very applicable.
I would say I'm writing a book called Get Over It, which seems to be pretty applicable for these times. Just look for the message. Don't worry about the messenger.
So what do you think about this message, this particular quote?
I think that the quote is absolutely amazing because what he says is it's likely that you're going to fail. And most people, what he's saying is most people will fail and quit. But the small amount of people that fail and keep going, those become the Thomas Edisons of the world. The Henry Firestones of the world. Those become the Henry Fords of the world. Henry Ford was looking for a way to mass produce cars. So were 25 other people. People you never heard of. And, you know, the guy that finishes first is the guy you remember. Usain Bolt just came in first in the Olympics just this past year or so.
Mm-hmm.
Who came in second? Answer, who cares? Michael Phelps won 16 gold medals.
If that person who came in second keeps trying,
yeah,
eventually Usain Bolt will quit and they can be.
Exactly. So well, I think this is so interesting that this is the quote that you chose, Doug, on Ken Wall's episode, because he had every opportunity to give up and to quit. Okay. And he said, I'm not letting this bring me down. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep doing whatever I need to do to be successful, to rebuild my business, to redo, you know, and grow. And now he is. I mean, it's amazing.
I think that he is a classic example, not only of anonymity, you know, somebody who has to work sort of in the background, because he's not going to write a book saying, I help people with their funnels. You know what I mean?
Does way more than funnels, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, he does SEO, does all kinds of web development. But people are interested in funnels right now. The ClickFunnels guy just made $1 zillion.
Russell Brunson.
Yeah. Reading.
We should get Russell on the show. If any of you listeners out there know Russell and want to connect us with him, I would love to interview him.
Yeah, me too. We're going to be interviewing other people that are pretty high up in the internet world.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to make sure that we get the people that are directly responsible for creating hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue for.
Totally.
Yeah. And then maybe a couple of million of that will flow to you guys.
Okay. So we do have a listener question.
Ah.
Doug, what's up?
All right. This one comes from Margaret. Margaret asks, do you have a suggestion for a follow-up kick butt email? One for staying in touch with customers that will not sound like everyone else, not the quote, checking in to see how things are going, boring email. This would be aimed more for new customers who have product info and like our product, but they have not ordered yet.
I'm going to start out by saying follow-up emails are stupid and boring. They're not just boring. They're stupid and boring. We'd send you a proposal, and I was just following up to see if you had any questions. No. Pick up the phone and call the customer. Let me repeat that for those of you who are under the age of 35.
The four words.
Pick up the phone and call the customer and have a conversation with them. Emails are one-sided, emails are stupid, emails are boring, and predominantly get deleted. And then you, as a salesperson, blame the customer. Well, I sent him an email, but he never followed up. No, dude, you're boring and not doing your job well. Pick up the phone and call the customer. Eight words. Pick up the phone and call the customer.
Okay, I'm going to add something.
You idiot.
Let's say... You cannot get them on the phone. And let's say, hold on, you keep trying, whatever, they don't answer. Okay. If you're going to send an email I agree. I always pick up the phone. I am such a phone person. But if you're going to send an email, I recommend you send a cool email that's going to get their attention.
Right. Here's the latest trend in your industry.
So for example, I would give some value, something that they would be interested, that would help them profit, that would help them create more sales, something that will help them. That's number one. Number two, I would personalize the hell out of it. So we are using this new solution called Vidyard. And I would put a Vidyard video in it. You can embed the video right in the email. You can hold up something with their name on it so that when they see the little GIF, that when they open the email, it says like, hi, Doug, or hi, Margaret, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And it's freaking cool. It gets even your attention.
Even do flashcards on the video. You know, my name is Mary. I work for Sooner, so I'm following up on this thing. I don't want to send an email, so I thought I would send you a flashcard email, the first of its kind.
And it, I mean, you can get so creative with it. You could hold up their logo, whatever it may be. But I just think video emails are way more effective.
We should memorialize that.
Thank you.
We should do the hold up the flashcards like we're doing thing, and then you have
you were complimenting your idea.
Yeah,
got it.
And then you sign on the
just checking.
You have a line and a little X there, you know, and just
here's
sign
the
here.
Check. Right. So, all you need to do is make it out to me.
So this is a sales company, but you guys get sold all the time for different services.
I love being sold.
What kind of emails, or really subject lines? Because that's the thing about email, right? You've got to get over the subject line barrier before you even get to the body of the email. So what kind of subject lines have you looked at and went, okay, I'll click on this?
I would really rather just have an honest person that puts in the email subject line, no sales bullshit, I just want your check.
That's ballsy.
It's totally ballsy.
I would open that email.
Oh, without a doubt.
I would open that email.
Yeah.
When you look at your emails, you can also see a little preview. Mm-hmm. So more so than the subject line, I always look at the little preview to see what they're trying to. And if it sounds salesy in the first thing and it's like no value, I'd delete.
So maybe the word free. Something free.
Yeah, but free gets spammed out a lot of times.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So, but what you're trying to do is make a connection. And so, you know, here's a trend that will help you. Here's an idea that will help you. Here's what I found in dealing with other people that are in the personnel business.
The other thing is this world is so small. And there has to be a way, like, for a lot of your prospects that you're following up with, you go on LinkedIn and you see who you know in common. And then if you're good connections with them and you have a good rapport, you just ask them, hey, Doug, can you help me get back in touch with so-and-so? Do you have a relationship with them?
Yeah.
And make that connection, because that can help too.
Great. Well, thank you, Margaret, for that email. And you can email your listener question into the Sell or Die podcast by emailing sellordie@gittimer.com. That's
Sell
or Die.
Maybe it will be answered next time.
Sellordie@gittimer.com.
It's been great. This has
been
a great
show. Yeah, we have
to go
now. I apologize, but we have bigger fish to fry.
Hey. In fact,
well, I'm just saying upstairs.
You don't like cooking fish in
our
the
fish
house.
Are frying.
It smells.
I agree. But we're going to prepare next week's Sell or Die. And let me tell you something. It's going to be a winner. A big, happy, fun, fact-filled winner. But we're not going to tell you a damn thing about it other than drink some Death Wish coffee between now and then. Go to Owler and register for them and get some information on your competitors and all kinds of other people that are involved. If you have Salesforce.com, buy Map Anything. It's probably the best Salesforce add-on on the planet. And we have to go right now, right?
We do.
Yeah. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer, and I want to thank you for being our customer.
I'm Jen Gluckow.
And we're advising you to get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.
Oh, yeah.